positive results is a function of databases, business operations, and CRM. And that's all the math that's going to be in this presentation. Now, what I wanted to start with was if we can sort of reminisce and think about, you know, like what is really common between the two periods, which is 1960s and the 1990s, in terms of, you know, data and techniques. And what I'm referring to is basically when we had the quantitative revolution in the late 60s and the early 70s, like what the business was doing was getting all this data and putting through statistical techniques at that time called the tools, like factor analysis and principal component analysis, and just letting the technique drive the results and then try to interpret whatever the technique spelled out. And what is happening today is with all these data mining software coming onto the horizon, like Enterprise Miner and Intelligent, whatever it's called. So what we are doing is we are in the phase, in the 1990, early 1990s, get a lot of data. Yeah, like that has been the paradigm, and then just, you know, get a technique or get a tool which will just sort of spin that data through various algorithms and give us the results, you know, which is not necessarily a good approach, basically, because what is happening today, as I said, is that we are getting data, more data, even more data, and based on that particular paradigm, what we are doing is, let's throw the data into a data warehouse, let's then do database marketing, and that equals CRM. And that's not necessarily what is the real story. So what is happening in the business side is we need to take the time to answer some basic questions. And that's what my presentation is all about, because the three are intertwined, the data and the business operations and CRM. They are intertwined. They cannot be thought of, you know, as separate. And actually, this is a great forum because where academics come together, business people come together, and they try to even see that particular flavor to the whole situation. Now, what I'm going to do is basically give some examples from a financial sector experience without naming the client. And so what data generally we need? You know, like, so the question is not to get all the data, you know. And what we have to do is we look at all different types of data, internal client data, externally acquired data. It could be from StatCan. It could be from, you know, like MapInfo. It could be from Generation 5. It could be from Manifold, wherever, or various other vendors like Equifax, you know, like TransUnion, whoever. And then there is another type of data, which is data-derived analytically. Let's not confuse, you know, like a tool or a technique equivalent to saying that that's just, you know, like a churning of the data. It creates data. And then what we have to not dispel with also is the business knowledge. Now, what has been happening over time is that business knowledge has been put in the back burner to a great degree, not by everybody. I'm not saying that, you know. It's like the knowledge that we acquire over various types, long experiences. You know, that's sometimes worth more than just a few equations that can come through. And then market data. You know, like we all know that we have to know the marketplace, whether it happens to be, you know, like the world market or whether it happens to be North American market and the competitors' data. So these are the type of data we have to think about. We don't have to think about get any data that comes your way. We have to think about what is the relevance of internal client data to be merged with externally acquired data, data-driven analytically, the business knowledge, how we can leverage the business knowledge along with the mere numbers. And then how much data? There is no answer to how much data. You know, like data could be, it all depends on the size of the business operation, depends on the business tenure, how long the business has been in business, the client's budget, and the growth strategy, and the operational system. Now, this is very important. We cannot just get data simply because we have the data. We have to think about the operational system. Before we acquire and build any database, we have to define our data needs, which is very obvious. I made the point. And then what we have to do is we have to acquire or build the data in terms of what we need, and only build it when we need it. Because I have seen through experience over the last 15 years, people get data just because data is there or somebody has convinced them to buy the data. and not because they necessarily need it from their perspective, but somebody had made a point of them having it because they need it. And then not only that, they get it even when they don't need it at the time, you know. And what happens is that it sits on their shelf for a while because their operational systems are not ready to receive the data. That's the key here. And when the operational system is ready to receive the data, data will be utilized, you know. So that's the point then that I'm trying to bring. And then the thing is leverage all the data. So if you know what you need and you get what you need and you get when you need it, then you are going to obviously leverage all the data. That's the point I'm bringing home in this particular point. Now, and then we have to optimally utilize all the data. Now, well, how can we optimally utilize the data? Operations, right? It has to be easily accessible. We have to have data mining tools available at the site. And business analyst has to be knowledgeable and experienced. And it has to have user-friendly outputs. And data validation and updated processes are in place. Now, you can get the data today, but if there is no, you know, chance that it will be updated for next year, are you going to drop that particular paradigm if it was happens to be one of the most important factors going into your model? Because your model won't be updatable. So all these points are very important in terms of the optimal data utilization. And then corporational operational systems. Now all data must be acquired with operational capabilities in mind. Let me give you an example. Like from my past experience, I saw a corporation get the data and they thought it was just great data. But, you know, like they bought the data, but when they wanted to implement into their operational system, the operational system couldn't accommodate it. They paid $50,000, sat on the shelf. Next year, they canceled the order. And then what happened is then they thought about putting an operational system in place for such type of data because it was important data. And the operational system came in place, and then they purchased the same type of data, and they utilized it. You know, that's what I'm talking about. All data must be acquired with operational capabilities in mind. Operations can't be easily changed just because new data has arrived, because business people would know that it takes sometimes hundreds and thousands of dollars, you know, like just to change one variable in their main system. You know, this happens with large corporations like CIBC, you know, like American Express, IBM, Kraft, or whatever. Because it's not easy that all of a sudden a new data arrives so I can just upload it. No, it's not that simple. And then operations planning must be strategically tied to relevant business data needs. So basically what we have to do is if we happen to be the vendors, we have to get involved with the business as if we are their business partners. I know there are some things that the business won't share with the vendor, but that's okay. You know, they don't share with the agencies either, everything, you know. But agencies are there as partners. They try to, you know, like get as much knowledge as necessary to actually, so that they can sell them the right data. And what is happening with the vendor side is that the vendor, especially the knowledgeable people from the vendor side, have to become partners with the business. So that when they have, when they go there, they can sell the data because they need the data, and then it will be a more healthy relationship and win-win situation for everybody. Now, what is CRM? Let's assume that we have the data that we need, and we have the systems that are now going to be, you know, like accommodating all the data. So CRM is obviously everywhere. You know, like everybody wants to just do a customer-centric marketing, wants to talk about the customer in all their, you know, communication. And so when we say CRM, it means communication with the consumer all the time, you know. Like, again, let me give you an example, of, again, from the past. If a particular company or a particular corporation is, let's say, issuing a credit card, a charge card, a, you know, like a, maybe a banking, you know, services, and also maybe travel services. Now, what happens when they are going to talk to implement CRM? Are they going to be sending a charge card offer to a customer just ignoring the other relationships? If they are, it's not customer-centric. And it's happening very often. In the packaged goods industry, the product or the brand positioning, you know, is changing a little bit now with the CRM paradigm, but it's still, the infrastructure is not changing. So what we have to think about is that we have to, as group of people, the business people and the technical people and the data people and the analytical people, have to think about that the communication has to be to the customer. It's just positioning, you know. And customers' demands also change over time. Again, CRM, you know, like you cannot go on sending the same type of offer to the customer, you know, like all the time, because customer demands could change, you know, like overnight. I know the data is the issue, but if we have a relationship with the business, so there is some internal business data. It could be transactional data. It could be, you know, their survey data that can help you understand the change in customer demands over time. And so that's what's important. Leverage partnerships with the CRM initiated. You know, like sometimes a customer is consuming millions of, not millions, but many things. You know, if we can partner with businesses that complement, you know, like the joint effort, then what we'll do is CRM will take a better positioning and CRM will be more profitable initiated. That's what I'm talking about here. Now, CRM has to be everywhere. It doesn't have to be only for loyalty, you know, that we can just talk to our existing customers in terms of thinking that we are developing their relationship, our relationship with them. We are creating a viable relationship by having more relationships with them. It has to be everywhere. Because when you are doing even acquisition, you have to know who you are targeting. And actually, the last thing is targeting is the fundamental premise of CRM. So, like, it's not targeting when out of 11 million plus households in Canada, you are mailing to 6 million and you are calling it targeting. It's not targeting, you know. So, if the whole paradigm is CRM, then you have to say, okay, I have to start from that point that the whole thing has to be customer relationship management. Doesn't matter it's acquisition, doesn't matter it's loyalty, doesn't matter, you know, like, whatever we want to talk about. So, that's... So at the end, what I am trying to say is that databases, the operations, and the CRM is an intertwined entity, and we as the business people from the data analytical side and the business people from the business ownership side have to work hand in hand and share as much as we can so that we can all, you know, contribute in a more productive manner. That's basically what the talk is. Any questions? That's it. And we can say, you can ask me questions about business implications, like if you, that's what I really want to hear. What do you think would be the business implications for these? Yes? Yes. I don't know whether we can just say that, you know, like we will be degrading it just by following that approach. It depends what kind of targeting are we doing. Like I gave an example of 6 million, you know, out of 11 million plus million. That's not targeting. But if we can identify the segments, you know, and the segments are based on the needs, the wants, the likes and the dislikes of people, right? And then we can say, okay, these are the people we are targeting. This is what they want. I'm going to furnish their needs, then that targeting is never going to be unprofitable. Yeah, but why would you think that it will be, you know, literally small? It depends how the clustering is, right? Yeah, it depends. Yeah, exactly. Like we are not talking about here clusters of, you know, like a handful of people. We are talking about, you know, obviously we have to think about optimal clustering also, optimal segmentation. So if it happens, we have 200,000 clusters, I mean, that's never going to work. You know, like we have to have like an optimal number of clusters. I'm not going to even attempt to talk about clustering here after Professor Wu's talk. But the point is, you know, like we have targeting is like we cannot be doing CRM without targeting. I mean, the two go hand in hand. You know, we are communicating to the customer. We have to target the. If we identify the target, we can communicate. If we can't identify the target, how can we communicate? And these days, with you know, like so much knowledge around, the customer is a lot more demanding. Also, customer wants you to talk to them. You know, like you talk to them wrongly, they will get back to you. They'll call you 800 number. You know, why did you send me this piece? I don't speak their language. You know, I mean, so this is really important. Like we got to understand. So the whole thing is like we should not let the techniques dictate us. You know, what we want. We should have, we have the three things work together. And then what we have to do is, and I mean, customer relationship management has to occur. Because the customer is demanding it, you know. We are all prey to customer's demand, you know, in the business world. Any other questions?
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
On behalf of Yale University and the Research Institute, I want to thank you all for your time here. And particularly, I want to thank the speakers. And for the speakers, we have here a souvenir. Susan, you take it first.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That's good. Small bottle.